Well, I add my Happy Mother's Day greeting and wishes to all of you out there. And I hope the message this morning would be a message of encouragement to not only the mothers that are tuning in, but also each person, because encouragement is something we all can do, and frankly, we are all called to do. The June 13th, 1993 edition of the Chicago Tribune ran an article with the eye-catching headline, "Uh-oh, pull over and get a thank you." It seems that on Wednesday, June 9th, the authorities in the Hartford subdivision of South Windsor, Connecticut, had begun a new program to give safe drivers a $2 reward for obeying the speed limit, wearing safety belts, having children in protective seats, and using turn signals. One person stopped by a patrolman was Lori Carlson. As the policeman approached her car, she wondered what she had done wrong. To her amazement, the officer handed her a ticket that said, "Your driving was great, and we appreciate it." "You're always nervous when you see the police lights come on behind you," said Carl Lomax, another resident of South Windsor, pulled over for good driving. "It takes a second or two to adjust to the officer saying, 'Hey, thanks a lot for obeying the law.' It's about the last thing you would expect." The police of South Windsor had a good idea. People should expect to receive encouragement from us. When we encourage them, we can bring out the best in them. It's easy to be one who always corrects, but sometimes it's a little more difficult to be one who regularly encourages. There's a person that only appears in one chapter of the Bible. And although we see not a whole lot of truth about this person's life, what is described tells us volumes. This person is Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And she serves as a shining model to all of us of encouragement. You see, we live in a world filled with discouragers. So in that world of discouragers, be an encourager. Elizabeth models for us a lifestyle of encouragement in three ways. First of all, like Elizabeth, encourage with your testimony. In Luke chapter 1, verse 6, the scripture says, describing Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, "And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord." Here we discover two areas of Elizabeth's testimony. Her testimony toward God and her testimony toward others. Before God, the scripture says, she was righteous. Positionally, she was in right standing with God. And folks, our standing before God has nothing to do with how we live or what we do. But it has everything to do with who we know and who we trust. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, the scripture says, "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith." Elizabeth was righteous positionally, but she was also righteous practically. Verse 6 says, she was walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Being righteous before God is righteousness imputed. Just like Abraham, who believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. But righteousness is not only imputed, but it's also imparted. It is a work of the Holy Spirit imparted into our lives so that we can live a life of righteousness before men and women and boys and girls. But notice, Elizabeth not only lived this righteousness, but she lived it in spite of difficulty. In Luke chapter 1, verse 7, the scripture says, "But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both she and Zechariah were advanced in years." I know many of you out there listening have not been blessed with children. And Mother's Day is kind of a bittersweet day for you. A sweet day as you remember and celebrate, perhaps if she's alive, with your own mother. But a bit of a bitter day, because for whatever reason, you have not been blessed with children. That was the difficulty Elizabeth faced. And even more so because in her culture, being childless was looked upon as a sign of God's displeasure. You see, folks, adversity will drive you closer to God or further away from him. Which will you allow it to be? Folks, it is in times of adversity, times of difficulty, that we gain the attention of a watching world. Elizabeth lived her testimony in times of difficulty, but she also had a testimony in times of deliverance. In Luke 1, 34 through 38, as the angel was speaking with the Virgin Mary about her upcoming bearing of the Son of God, it says, "Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.' Watch this. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The angel Gabriel used Elizabeth's bearing of John the Baptist in her old age as a source of encouragement to the teenager Mary, that with God nothing was impossible. And even though she had never known a man, she could be the virgin who bore Emmanuel, as the prophet said, which means God with us. You know, did Elizabeth perhaps later on finally come to an understanding that this is why I've been childless so long? I was childless so Mary, my relative, could be encouraged that with God, all things are possible. You see, friends, All of us have a life story. We need to use our life story to encourage others. Like Elizabeth, encourage others with your testimony. This Mother's Day morning, you may not have the testimony of being positionally right with God. Dear friend, you don't have to go another day in that condition. Right now, you can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you can receive the forgiveness of sins that He offers you by dying on the cross and rising again. Let's pray. And I would like to pray for you that if that is your condition, it will not be any longer. Father in heaven, I ask you in Jesus' name that each one listening to this live stream today would have the testimony of being righteous before you. Not because of what they say or because of what they do, but because of who they know, because of whom they've trusted. And Lord, if there's one without Christ, I pray that they would reach out to you by faith and just say this simple prayer: God, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins, and I know Jesus was sent to this earth to die on the cross, to shed His blood so that my sins could be forgiven. And I believe that He rose again the third day, and I am trusting Him and Him alone for the gift of eternal life. Thank you, God, for saving me today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've seen that Elizabeth modeled a lifestyle of encouragement by her testimony. Her testimony in times of difficulty as well as times of deliverance. But secondly, we discover that, like Elizabeth, you can encourage others with your talk. In Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 41, immediately after the angel Gabriel gave that word to Mary, it says, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, we'll get to what she said in just a moment, but notice, encouraging talk is a product of being filled with the Spirit. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, there's a dramatic contrast between a life that is given over to living according to the works of the flesh versus a life that's giving over to being filled with the Spirit. And notice what these verses says, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery." Now we get into those that are evidenced many times by our talk: enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. Every one of those works of the flesh can be revealed by what we say. And the passage goes on: drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. "I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit," in stark contrast to the works of the flesh, "the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Every one of those can be reflected by how we talk. Is our speech loving speech? Is our speech that which communicates peace and joy and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? You see, encouraging talk is produced by being filled with the Spirit. A man came to his pastor one day, and the pastor asked him how he was going, and the man just went off. I mean, he just filled the pastor's ears full of complaints and full of ways he'd been wronged and just went on. And finally, he looked at the pastor and he said, "Pastor, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to burden you with all this stuff. But if you only knew how I've been aggravated lately, you'd understand." The pastor smiled at this gentleman. He said, "Brother, let me ask you one thing. If you were to go and take a bucket and fill that bucket with acid, and you walked along carrying that bucket, and someone jostled you, what would spill out of the bucket?" And the man said, "Well, acid, of course." And the pastor said, "Okay, I'll take the same bucket and fill it with cold, refreshing water. Now walk along, and if someone jostles you then, what is going to spill out then?" The man said, "Well, water, of course." Then the pastor said, "Brother, you cannot control being jostled, but you can control what you put in the bucket." Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. And notice what she said in Luke 1, 42 through 45. "And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" You see, Elizabeth, filled with the Spirit, spoke to Mary these words of blessing, these words of encouragement. And notice how most of her speech was directed to Mary and her obedience and the choice of her to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 tells us, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Is your speech, is your talk that edifies, that builds up other people, or tears them down? Elizabeth encouraged others with her talk. Do you? Notice thirdly, the third way Elizabeth's life was a model of encouragement is that she encouraged others with her time. Look at verse 56 of chapter 1. "And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home." 3 months. We have an old saying in our house: relatives are like fish. After 3 days, they begin to stink. But Elizabeth stayed 3 months. You see, friends, there's no substitute for time. Oftentimes we hear the ongoing debate of quality time versus quantity time. And really, folks, I don't believe there's an either or here. Because you see, many teachable moments come from the context of quantity time. You cannot plan for teachable moments that arise in your life and to communicate truth and to communicate godliness to your children. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, the scripture says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Dear friends, be a mentor. Take some time to invest in the lives of other people, or find a mentor. Find someone who will take the time to invest in your life and help you grow in godliness. Elizabeth was that kind of lady. You know, encouragers are in great demand, but I'm sad to say, probably very short supply. Ask yourself this question: am I on my kid's team, or am I on my kid's back? Which is it? They'll hear enough discouragement out in the world. Moms, understand that you are the thermostat of your home. You set the temperature. If it's a home full of criticism, that's on you. If it's a home full of encouragement, that's on you. Put the setting of the atmosphere of your home on encouragement. Encourage with your testimony during difficult times as well as times of deliverance. Encourage with your talk. Fill that bucket up with the Holy Spirit, as it were. So even when you're jostled, pure water will come out. And encourage with your time. Well, what became of Elizabeth's son that was born to her in her old age? Well, his name was John. And let's listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 7, verse 28. When he said, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. You know, with a mom like Elizabeth, no wonder John became the kind of man he was. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the impact that mothers have had in each one of our lives. And Lord, even those who long to be a mother, as Pastor Rob had prayed, and as we've noted in even Elizabeth's life, help them realize that they can be a mentor, that they can be one of these older women teaching the younger, and they can put their lives into the lives of other women. Father, I pray your blessing on each mom today. And I pray that each one would see how they and ask themselves, how can I encourage my husband, encourage my children with my testimony? with my talk and my time today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.